where I am. I just called out his name. The Lord is my best friend. Oh, the Lord is my best friend. He knows.
Luke's Gospel in the 7th chapter, in verse number 19. And John calling unto him two of his disciples, sent them to Jesus, saying, Art thou he that should come, or look we for another? Let us pray. Father, we love you tonight for who you are, for the great love and the mighty power of you. Teach us something tonight, Lord, what you're trying your very best to tell us, to instruct us. Father, that we would receive the word and it would be as an engrafted word that would go deep into our souls, God. Father, help us, Lord, to learn from these stories that's been penned down here for our examples. Lord, we will follow the faithful and learn a lesson from the unfaithful. We would follow those, Lord, that would stand and learn a lesson from those who would be discouraged. Lord, we love you tonight and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Shake a couple of hands before you sit down. Say, good to be in the house of the Lord. Try to get at least one somewhere. Amen. The title of what we're talking about tonight is, Should We Look for Another? Should we look for another? I wonder tonight if John the Baptist being in prison here sounds like some of us sometime has been guilty of, that we feel like we're found ourselves in a prison and we throw us a pity party. How many has ever thrown yourself a pity party? I've thrown you one. Probably every one of us in the building has thrown one at one time or another. Amen? We bake us a cake and get us some refreshments and tater chips and throw us a pity party. Amen? Come on, hold them up. You've done that before. I mean, every one of us has probably been guilty. So we can't really condemn John the Baptist, can we, tonight? He's our brother, isn't he? I love him. He's saying here, he's called a couple of his disciples as he's looking through these prison bars. And he says, go over and ask Jesus, is he the one, or we should look for another? Does John sound like us sometimes? A lack of confidence in a place of unrest. Kind of like a tumbleweed. We're blown with the wind rather than led by the Spirit. Amen. You see, there's a lot of Christians like that, that they're blown with every wind and doctrine that comes along rather than being led by the Spirit of Almighty God. Amen. You see, you can tell the difference, though. Those that are led by the Spirit of God will always be coming up on top. Amen. It doesn't matter the situation. It does not matter what comes or go. They'll always be consistent. But those are blown by every wind and doctrine, my friend. They those is up and down, in and out. Which is us tonight. Amen. Over in Matthew's gospel, it says in the third chapter, verse number 1. It says, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Jordan, of Judea, and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Get a picture of this man. A mighty man coming and preaching something that no one has ever preached. Preaching a message that no one else would dare to preach. Standing to the scribes and the Pharisees, the educated people. Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, a voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. The same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all regions around about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. I think not to say, he said, and think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. Don't think because you're Pentecostal or you're Baptist or you're Church of God, come on, or you're Assembly of God, don't think that's going to get it. Now also the axe is laid at the root of the tree. Therefore every tree, every individual which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. He said, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but that he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. And he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. What boldness! He said, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan and unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbid him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answered and said unto him, Suffer it to be now so, for thus it
becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. And he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straight way out of the water. And lo, the heavens were open unto him. And saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven. And John is there hearing it. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. What if you would have been there that day and you had your hands on the Son of God? Amen. And you baptized him in water and he came up straightway and the clouds opened and you hear a voice and you see the Spirit descending upon him. Could you ever doubt that experience? You hear this voice from heaven. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Could you ever doubt him? Think about it. John, in the first chapter, verse number 25. It says, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. Amen. Then it says in John 1 and 35, again the next day, after John stood and the two of his disciples. I wonder if it's the same two of his disciples that he's called over now to the prison wall and asked them. I wonder if it's the same two. Here, the two of them was here with John. And he says, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, behold the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak and they followed Jesus. I mean, after seeing all this, can you imagine someone being in prison and saying, is he the one or should we look for another? We're no different than John the Baptist. I see people testify. I see God work mighty miracles in their life. I see them feel the mighty power of God. And then things pop up in their life and they begin to question the very existence of God. Where are you at, Lord? Are you really so? Think about it. You say, well, wait a minute, Brother David. Wait a minute. John the Baptist was down in prison. So was Paul and Silas in prison too. But Acts in the 16th chapter said there's a little different story. Paul didn't say, some of y'all guys go and see if he's the one or should we look for another? No, it says at midnight they prayed and they sing psalms. And what happened? The prison doors opened. What happened to John? He was beheaded. There's a difference, my friend, when you find yourself looking through prison cell doors or prison bars. How do you handle that situation? How do you handle life? How do you handle things in life? Amen. I say unto you, like John 6:66, when many departed from him, Jesus walked with him no more, and Jesus looked at Peter and said, y'all gonna leave me too? I like what old Peter said. He said, where shall we go, man? You hold the words of eternity. Hey, ain't no need me to seek another. There is no other. There's nothing no better. That's a good thing. I got the best. Lord, you're the best. Oh, the boy, we get down there and want to throw us a pity party. Back in Luke in the 7th chapter and verse number 19. And John calling unto him two of his disciples sent them to Jesus saying, art thou he that should come? Or look we for another? Now, if you just read that not knowing the history of John, you say, well, that's pretty normal. But look what I just read you. It's kind of like this. It's kind of like this. When John was there in the third chapter, when I was reading you about, there comes one after me whose shoes I'm not ready, able to bear, and he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. And you're there and you're feeling this glory and you see the Son of God coming and you baptize him. You hear this voice. Oh, it's kind of like when we first come to Deliverance Tabernacle, we're excited. Come on. Whoa! Brother David, I ain't never heard no preaching like this. Come on. And then we get over there the next day, and he says, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Remember what he said? Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Huh? Wasn't quite as much as the day before, was it? In other words, they was excited about Deliverance Tabernacle. They was excited about being saved. They was excited about what they were hearing. Next day is, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. In other words, they're still happy. They're glad to be part of Deliverance Tabernacle Ministries. They're glad to be saved. But what happened on the next day? Behold the Lamb of God. That's all he said. See, it's getting shorter and shorter. Our testimony getting shorter and shorter. Our excitement getting shorter and shorter. Our smile is getting narrower and narrower. Come on. Our jump is getting a little bit more like a hop. Come on. Our walk is getting more like a crawl. Come on. Come on, church. Let's get it. Let's hammer it down where we're living tonight. Amen. Are we like John the Baptist? Are we like Paul and Silas? What are we tonight? When we get down to behold, Lamb of God, we're just happy to be here. Friend, I've been pastoring here a long time. I've seen it all. I've seen the excitement, I've seen the glad, I've seen the happy, and I've seen the sad. The excited this way and sad going that way. One day, I better not say that. No, y'all ain't pulling, I'm stopping right there. I'm stopping right there. What happens is they're excited coming this way. They're glad to be here. They're happy to be here. But then they're going looking for another. Shall we look for another? Brother David don't preach like he used to preach. Come on. The choir don't sing like they used to sing. Man, when David Creel used to, first time I heard him, man, it moved me. Boy, when Brother Mike get up there singing, well, when it moved me. He had the point going. His point ain't quite as high now. Come on. Sister Von Seal used to be like a canary. I ain't gonna say crow now. Come on, church. I'm telling you the truth. Listen, David Whitfield preaches like he's always preached with everything he's got. I ain't changed. Jesus didn't change. John changed. Amen. The message don't change. The people change. He says, should we look for another? Verse 20 says, when the men were come unto him, unto Jesus, they said, John the Baptist hath sent us unto thee, saying, art thou he that should come? Or look we for another? And in the same hour he cured many of their infirmities and plagues, and the evil spirits, and unto many that were blind he gave sight. Verse 22, and Jesus answered and said unto them, go your way and tell John what things ye have seen and heard. How that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the devils hear, the dead are raised, the gospel is preached. Amen. And then he said, ask him this too, tell him. And blessed is he Whosoever shall not be offended in me. Now, what does that word offend mean? I'm glad you asked it. I'm going to tell you. Offend means what Jesus is saying. Blessed is he whosoever shall not be entrapped. Or blessed is he that shall not stumble in me. Or be enticed to sin in me. Or snared in me. Or cause apostasy. In other words, turn from God. Those that are in me, blessed are you that'll hold on. That won't walk away. That won't get discouraged. But'll keep on, keep it on. Hallelujah. Blessed are you. That's what he's saying. That's what he's telling us. He says in Matthew's Gospel, 11th chapter, verse 7, he says, and as they departed, it's the same story, just a different book here. As they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, what went you out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken in the wind? But what went you out to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in the king's houses. But what went you out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before the face, which shall prepare the way before thee. He said, verily, I say unto you, among them that are born of women, thou there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. It is not belittling John, but John died before Jesus died. After Jesus died, we've come into a kingdom of God that's different than any man had ever lived. He said the least in the grace period is greater. Why? We have greater benefits. Understand? Listen, verse 12. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. What does that suffereth violence mean? It means to force or to be seized. In other words, to crowd oneself into, amen. And the violent take it by force. What is the violent? It's a forcer, amen. It's an energetic, if you will. It crowds yourself. It parallels with Luke 16 and 16. He said the law and the prophets were unto John. Since that time the kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth. That's the same word as violent. If you look it up, it means to crowd yourself into it. My friend, you gotta push yourself on into the kingdom of God. You gotta push yourself into deliverance. You gotta push yourself into the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The things of God, you gotta reach out. The kingdom of heaven is at hand, but you must reach out. You can't sit there like a knot on the log and expect it to fall on you. It don't. You must take it. Press your way in. Amen. Else you find yourself looking for another. That's what he's saying. 2 Timothy 1 and 5. He said, Paul is saying here to Timothy, encouraging him and remembering, he said, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith. What does that mean? That means genuine faith. Unfeigned, feigned is fake. Unfeigned is genuine. Genuine faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by putting all of my hands. Come on, let me tell you tonight, if you're sitting discouraged, and you're sitting saying, I hadn't felt the move of God in a long time, and I just need to feel something to know that he's real, I need you to remember back to the last time you felt him. He's still alive. He's still in the same place. I need you to call back. Amen. Call back to some of them services that you were moved. Some of them, call back That's what David, when he was faced with Goliath, he remembered the lion and the bear. He called back. Wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. I can take you, the same God. He's the same God tonight, Brother Anthony, as he was yesterday. He's just as real tonight, Sister Connie, as he was the night you got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He's just as real. That's what he said in the beginning. Let there be light. He's just as real. God's alive. Glory. The Holy Ghost is just as real. His healing is just as real. His salvation, his mercies are still as sure. You know what he's saying? Wherefore? He said, I call you to remember. Remember when you was a little boy. And your mama and your grandmama's in church. And you was a little boy watching it. I call you to remember the miracles you saw. The mighty moves of God, Timothy. Come on. I remember when I was a little boy. I call back those things. I remember seeing the power of God. Where demons was cast out of people. Where people were healed and saved and delivered. Where holiness was still part of the church. Amen. See mighty miracles. He's encouraging Timothy. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in the, it's in you. How many here saved? The gift of God's in you. It's just settled down. Come on. How many has ever been kind of calm and cool? And sometimes something angers you up. That anger was always in there. It would just settle down. You had to stir it up. Come on. Let me tell you, the power of God is in this place, but we've not stirred it up lately. Come on. It's in us, but we've just not stirred it. It needs a good stirring. Come on, the church needs to get stirred. 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 You ever been cooking? You got them ingredients? And if you don't stir it, all the goody settles to the bottom. But if you'll stir it up, come on, that thing will get sweeter and sweeter and sweeter and sweeter. You're stirring all the nutrients into it. Look at the one next to you. Say, you need to get stirred. What happened to John? He got to sitting in that prison. Things got settled. That's what the enemy wants the church to do, to get all settled. Y'all settle in now for a good sermon. No. He says, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee. Paul said, I know this in there, because when I put my hands on you, I felt it go in you. It's in there. I mean, he's got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You ain't got to raise your hand if you're ashamed of him. My God, you ought to jump to your feet and say, praise God for the baptism of the Holy Ghost of God. Hallelujah. Yes. Brother David. Brother David Williams brought some little tracts by the house he picked up from, I don't mind telling you, from Church of Christ. A little stack of them there. And I didn't know it was there. But was awakened Friday morning sometime in the night. Got his little dog, got a little bell on it. And the little bell ringing like somebody had it going. Woke me up. Well, when I woke up, the dog was standing, had jumped on the bed, was standing on my leg, piercing into the rest of the house, just standing there like frozen. His ears pierced. Of course, his ears stays up all the time, but I didn't think nothing about it. I thought he had a collar on. That's him moving, so her moving. So I just kind of brushed back over out of my way so it wouldn't wake me up, and I went back to sleep. I don't know how long of a time lapsed, but 5:30. Woke me up again. Sister Connie woke her up. And so she said to the dog, "You must got to go outside." So she gets up to let it go outside. And the dog jumps off the bed and I didn't hear a rattle. I told Connie, I said, "That rattle is what woke me up." She said, "That's what woke me up too." I said, "Where's that bell at?" She says, "In there on the hall table." I got up. I wanted to see where that thing was at. I went in there and I picked it up and shook it. Boy, I felt cold chills when I shook that thing because that was just like I heard it. I threw it back down there and, you know, I got me some water and went back in there and laid down, went to sleep. Now, I prayed. I said, "Lord, if that's you waking me up, somebody's in need at 5:30 in the morning. God, I want to intercede." And me and Sister Connie prayed and said, "Let's intercede for them on their behalf, Lord. Whatever it is, God. I don't know." We went back to sleep. Next morning, I asked her that night. I said, "What's them little cards on the end of the table?" She said, "I don't know what you're talking about." So I went to sleep. Next day, I saw them there. It's them little old tracks that your husband brought to the house, drug into my house. I told Connie, I got to reading it. I said, "I know what was ringing that thing last night. It's them demons in the little tracks there." I mean, they're talking about the Holy Ghost is not for today. It's only for the 12. Forget the 70 that, you know, people don't think. I mean, all kind of stuff in the little tracks. False religions, false doctrines. But let me tell you, the Holy Ghost is just a much part of the church today as it was on the day of Pentecost. Amen. When 120, not 12, 120. Glory to God. I call you to remembrance. He said, verse 7, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear." You know what he's saying? God has not given me the spirit of timidity. As timidness, that means faithlessness. Let me tell you, if you have a spirit of timidity or timid or you don't have faith, let me tell you, that is not of God. If there's a spirit around you that is killing your faith and giving you doubt and trying to feed you doubt, let me tell you right now, that is not of God. He has not given us a spirit of faithlessness. Amen. A spirit of set down, a spirit of discouragement. But he said, "I've given you the spirit of power." What does that mean? That means dunamis. That means force. That means pressing your way into. It means miraculous power. It's given you a spirit of abundance, a spirit of strength. That's what power means. A spirit of love, he said. And it's agape. Comes from the word agape. With all your heart, mind, soul, and body. He's given you the spirit of a sound mind. What is that? That's self-control. That's discipline. That means to teach, to be sober. I mean, we need to train ourselves to be sober, not walking this way and this way and this way and this way, up and down, believing and not believing. But we know who we are and whose we are. That's what he's talking about. We know what we believe. Amen. Unified in God. 2 Peter 3:1. He says, "This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance." I meant to look up that word remembrance, of remembering. He said, "I stir up your mind by the way of remembering things." Remember yesterday. Remember the experiences you've had. That's what, amen, that's our faith. That's what we go from faith to faith, from experience to experience. Can't nobody come along. You think somebody could come along and convince me that there's no baptism in the Holy Ghost today? Why? Because I've had an experience. Look at the one next to you. He said, "You need to get you some more experiences if you ain't got enough already." Look back at him and say, "Are you an experienced Christian?" What do you say in 1 Thessalonians 5:19? He said, quench not the spirit. What does quench say? He said, quench not. That means extinguish not the fire. Amen. John the Baptist said, there's one coming after me. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. Let me tell you, the night I got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I got some fire in me. Amen. And let me tell you, fire changes the state of something. And fire, you can't sit still. You got to move. Amen. He said, quench not that feeling. Quench not that fire. Don't put that fire. Don't put that excitement out. Amen. How many, when you got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you was excited? I was equally as excited the night I got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I got saved. Because listen to me, they both from God. Amen. I don't want it to be put out. And I sure ain't going to put it out. Are you? Amen. Listen, he said in Galatians 1:6, he says, Paul said, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that calleth you unto the grace of Christ and to another gospel. He said, you're blowing my mind that you lose your excitement so quick and you're looking for something else. I mean, I see people come in and they say, oh, I got saved. I actually sometimes see a tear or two coming down their cheek. And you know, they say, oh, I got saved. I thank God. And boy, I love this church. And man, I want to do a work and they never do anything. And if a little while they're gone again, they're looking for something else. I marvel. It blows my mind. I'm like Paul. Blows my mind, don't you? It blows my mind. How did somebody say that I'm saved and my God has my heart, my mind, my soul, and they don't want to do nothing for God? And I marvel. But they would pay my tithes. Big deal. That's your reasonable service. Come on now. Don't get mad at me tonight. Don't get all puffed up. Don't get in prison. Don't throw you a pity party. He talking about me? Yes, I am. I'm talking about every one of you and myself included. As far as I know, this thing, this microphone can be heard all over this building. Hello? I can hear it myself. Look here. Y'all just got these two right there. I got these pointing at me right here. Might even be over here. Yeah, one, no. Just the front monitors and them. See, the preacher's really hard-headed. He got them blasting at him. And they're higher than those. As far as loudness. Amen. Galatians 5:7, he says, ye did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? I mean, you was doing good. What happened? Well, Brother David, I wanted to throw me a party. So I threw me a pity party. Aren't we pitiful? Oh, help us. Y'all laugh. Come on. See, if y'all laugh when I say that, I don't know I'm hitting you. You're killing me. Oh, boy, you're stepping all over my toes. See, but you sit there all swole up like a bullfrog. Boy, I'm knocking them all over the place tonight, Lord. Getting them. Oh, help us, Lord. He said, look, you didn't run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? Who told you to sit down? Who told you to sit down? Trying to look. I wrote that down. Sit down. Spirit of sit down. There it is. A spirit of sit down. Who told you? Who gave you a spirit of sit down? You didn't run well. Who did tell you to sit down? Who told you to get discouraged? Who told you to quit? Who told you to lose your excitement about coming to church? Amen. Who told you to look for another? He said, this persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you a little leaven, leaveneth the whole lump. That 1% will get you. You can't have 99%, Sister Renee. You got to be 100. If you got a 1% of junk in there, that 1% of leaven is going to take over all of you. Pity party. There's been some in the Bible take a pity party. Oh, Elijah got him one going under the juniper tree. You remember that? Over in 1 Kings, the 19th chapter. got him a little old pity party. Yeah, had him some Coca-Cola and tater chips out there, you know. He didn't have that, but I'm just saying. He got under there. Juniper tree means to yoke up. Yoke up. Yoke, remind me of Chuck, something or other. Brother Ed, next time you see Chuck, say, "What's up, Chuck?" Amen. Help us get back here, Lord. Here's Elijah under the rest of y'all get that when you get home. Listen. Here he is under the juniper tree, camped out, having him a pity party. It's enough, I'm gonna die. Done enough. Under the juniper tree, which means bound, yoked up. Later on, he got out from under the juniper tree, and where did he find himself? In a cave. He done dug himself a hole and crawled in it. I'm going to have one down in the darkness. Don't turn on no lights. I'm throwing a big pity bash. I'm making fun of all of us because we've all been there. We've all tried to crawl under the juniper tree a time or two and try to crawl in the cave. Come on. It's one thing to get under, it's another thing to get out. Look here. Moses used men whose heart stirred them to come to the work of the Lord. He didn't get them that he had to pump and prime and beg and plead and baby. Come on. He had never got the work done. God said, choose those men whose heart is stirred up toward the work of the Lord. I announced this morning, anybody that would like to work with computers, evidently, we're all dumb in here. Because I didn't have the first person come to me. I asked anybody that would like to work with the sound equipment, not a first person come to me. Oh, stir up your remembrance. Lord, we have some short termers here. What did that? You know? Okay. He said, I know. Oh, glory. Some of you lay on the computer a lot. My space, your space, his space, our space. Huh? Some of it got a bunch of junk on it. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. I'll stand up and say it. I ain't been on them. I ought to go on some of y'all. I ought to look y'all's name up and I find it on there. Come on. You know what I'll do, don't you? I'll download it on one of them little old things and I'll put it right up here. Come on. You don't believe I'll do it. You're mistaken. You let me get my hands on it. That's where to be. Come on. If you're ashamed of it right here, you ought to even more so be ashamed of it out there. That didn't cost you. That was a freebie. Numbers 21 and 45. Listen to this. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses. Wow. Now, check this out. Look at the way that they was walking. Mount Hor, that's a mountain. The Red Sea, it's down there. That's the valley. Huh? These mountains and valleys. Mountains and up and down. in and out, up and down, in and out, up and down. You know what Edom stands for? Red-faced. Getting angrier and angrier. Up and down. Up and down. In and out. That Brother David, he don't know. I'm telling you, I'm about sick of this church. I'm about sick of... Where's God at? Come on, church. He said they got discouraged because of the way. Well, why was they out there? Because they rebelled against God. Come on. They wandered around in the wilderness. Come on. They rebelled against God. When you rebel against God, how can he lead you? He don't drive us. He leads us. My. The very hand that was feeding them. The very man that was leading them. To give his life. The God that provided for them. They were speaking against them. Brother David, he don't like me no more. Who told you that? If I don't like you, I'll come tell you I don't like you. My goodness. What happened? Fiery serpents came. Said it was sent from the Lord. It was God in the Old Testament responsible for everything. So whether God sent them or because they was out of the way, they was there. Because the Bible said, touch not my anointed, knew my prophets no harm. Amen. Saul spoke against David, lost his kingship too, and everything else. David went into Saul, into his tent where Saul was at, and took something or did something. I forget what it was. Ripped a piece of his garment. And David's heart repented. That was the king. I did something. I mean, just cut his garment. He's letting him know, I could have killed you if I wanted to. Just cut his garment. And he repented over that. You see the difference between Saul and David? Saul didn't respect David's anointing, but David respected Saul's. That's a different, my friend. Amen? Brother Anthony, I might not like you, but I respect you. Of course, I love you, brother. You know that. Brother Steve, I might not like you, but I better respect you. I respect your anointing, brother. Come on. Good men. Good women. Amen. Glory to God. Fiery serpents were sent. Started biting the people. People wonder, what's all this? What's happening? Repent. The plane. Repent. Repent. Listen. And what happened? God heard it. And he says, take a pole and put a brazen serpent upon it. Hold it up, and everyone that looks upon it will not die from the bite. What does that represent? Jesus on the cross of Calvary. Because it said there, it said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so shall the Son of Man be lifted up. Amen. And they looked upon him, and it's a picture of Calvary. Hallelujah. They were healed. It says, listen to this. 1 Samuel, I'm almost finished. 1 Samuel 30th chapter and verse number 1. It says, and it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag. On the third day, there was the Amalekites had invaded the south of Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire. And had taken the women captives and were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and all his men came into the city, and behold, it was burned with fire. And their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captive. And then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. David's two wives were taken, Hananam and Abigail. Verse 6, and David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him. David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him. I ask you tonight, what does Ziklag mean? Do you know what it means? Do you know what it means? Let me tell you what it means. Nobody really knows. I said that for a reason. Let me tell you, when situations come, you might ask, why? Let me tell you, there may not be an answer. But it does not matter where things come from. What matter is how we stand in it. Come on. And how we stand over it. And that we become overcomers. Look, if I named some situation tonight, that would be the end of it. It would just be that. But here it opens up. It says it does not matter what place you find yourself in. The meaning is unknown. What matters is what David, when he lost his wives, one meant peace and one meant joy. The meaning of Hananiah means peace, and Abigail means joy. David finds himself crying and weeping because he had lost his peace and had lost his joy. I'm asking you tonight, if you ever found your place in a pity party somewhere and a prison looking through and said, is he the Christ? Is this really real? Am I a Christian, or should I look for another? Is Deliverance Tabernacle the place, or should I look for another? Have you ever found yourself in that place? Losing your peace and joy. What did he say? David was greatly distressed. Not only did he lose his peace and joy, but the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved. Every man for his sons and for his daughters. He didn't mention wives, did he? But I should have said that. I'm just reading what's there. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Look, David didn't. He didn't sit down and build him a little campfire and start getting him a little pity party going on. It said that David encouraged himself in the Lord. And if you'll read the story, David pursues and he gets his wives back. In other words, he gets his joy back and he gets his peace back. Amen. He didn't stay in Ziklag, but he got up and he got out of there and he got his peace and joy back. Paul said, encourage means to fasten upon. Who have I heard that? The violent take it by force. Huh? He's talking pressing your way into it. Encourage, that's what David was doing. He was pressing his way into the kingdom of God. To fasten upon, to seize, to force, to press. That's what it means. Listen. You might have lost your peace and joy. You might have lost your first love. You're married and you lose your first love. Guess what comes next? Divorce. You're at God and in church and you lose your first love. Guess what's coming? Backslidden. Separation. Divorce. Amen. Paul was here finding himself on the ship. Somebody come to the instruments. Paul is finding himself upon the ship. The Bible says, in the book of Acts, I think it's the 27th chapter, he says that there was no sun, nor moon, no stars for many days. In fact, it says that all hope that they should be saved was taken away. That's getting pretty down there, isn't it? I never found myself quite there yet. Huh? He had a choice. Throw in the towel. Give up. Quit. Get busy dying. or get busy living. You got a choice. Get busy dying spiritually, or get up and shake yourself and stir yourself and get busy living for God and doing a work for God. You got a choice. Lastly, Jesus said, listen, I want you to remember this. If you ain't caught nothing else in this service, I want you to remember this. Jesus said, occupy till I return. Last time I checked, he ain't returned yet. So I got to keep occupying. I got to keep preaching. I got to keep doing. I got to keep, come on. I got to keep walking. I got to keep talking. Got to keep singing. Got to keep teaching. Huh? Got to keep doing. I got to occupy till he returns. I can't sit down. I can't quit. Hallelujah. So, Brother Dave, you're getting pretty old. I can't quit. I can't quit. God is so good. Have y'all received something tonight? I want you to act on it right now. I want you right now, just close your eyes in your spirit. I want you to get this word now. Say, Lord, I want to gather up every bit of the fragments of this word tonight. And I want it in my spirit, God. Because, Lord, if I know that I'm like John the Baptist was in that old prison looking through them bars, and I begin to say, art thou the Christ, or should we look for another? I stand a chance of being beheaded. You say, Brother David, is that why he was beheaded? Because he said that? I don't know. The Bible don't really say. I know he said in one place, he says, he must increase, but I must decrease. I represent the old. John the Baptist did. I've got to step out of the way. He represents the new. I never really thought about it. But what if John the Baptist would have been encouraging those disciples, saying, everything's going to be fine. God is in control. Because Jesus, the Messiah, is here. Would he have been beheaded? I don't know. Doesn't really add to or take away the message. But I'm kind of like this. That old John, one of them disciples, come back and said, what did he say? I said, well, he really didn't say nothing, but just tell you what we'd seen. The dead raised, the blinded eyes open, the devils are cast out. I believe something swole up in old John the Baptist and said, oh, praise God, he's still alive. He's still real. And I believe he's like old Paul. When it come time, he said, the time of my departure's at hand. Come on, I've kept the faith. Amen. I believe like old Paul ran out to old Nero's chopping block, said, go ahead and take my head. I believe old John the Baptist was ready to. But before his head ever hit the ground, he was shouting in glory. Come on. Or in paradise, he died for Jesus. John did. Lord, I'm taking this message tonight and I'm stirring it in me. God, this is for me tonight. It ain't for nothing sitting next to me. It's for me. Lord, I need to stir up the gift of God that's in me. Lord, never to say, are you real? Should I look for something else? God, get busy living for you, God. Hallelujah. Maybe tonight you want to just act of faith or whatever you need to be anointed. You want to come and pray. You want to pray where you at. Whatever you want to do tonight, you just obey God. As they sing some, you just obey God tonight. You want to come and repent, say, God, I'm repenting tonight, Lord. God, I want my peace back and I want my joy. That's what David did. He went and said, Lord, shall I pursue? Shall I pursue? God said, pursue, recover all. How about it? Come on, stand all over the building. Come on, move out, move out, move out.